when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
As I said, I was 22 and we went and saw an accountant at the time and they said, if you structure it like this, you're going to pay about $200,000 in tax. If you structure it like this, we'll pay about $15,000.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we're chatting again to successful property investor and wealth advisor, Jolene Zakaria. She's no stranger to property investment, and we'll learn more about the cash flow heavy model she uses to make her investments work for her, the passive income stream she has created, and the habits that have led her to success. Zakaria shares with us the current properties she has in her portfolio, which includes a number of different properties.
Right now, we've got a principal place of residence, obviously, but that's a sizable asset for us. And then we've got a property at Mooloolaba, and it's actually a block of units. So there's a four-bedroom and two three-bedroom units in that. We built the four-bedroom in downstairs, and then we've got two commercial properties in addition to that at the moment as well.
For Zakaria, her favourite moment over the course of her property journey was achieving financial independence to the point where she didn't necessarily have to work as much in order to pay for her living costs.
My favourite moment in the investment side, so not obviously having kids and getting married is like my favourite moment, but my favourite moment with the property side is when we had paid off because our house now is obviously a much bigger asset. We don't live in the three-bedroom unit anymore. Where we had our house paid off and our units at Mooloolaba, and we started receiving that significant passive income coming through. And, you know, we felt like, okay, well, this is what we've been working towards. This is the moment that I think a lot of people really dream of, is now we're in a position where, well, we don't necessarily have to work. You know, we don't have to work as much. We can have more balance and start to step back and all those sort of things. It is a very tangible feeling when that happens, because you do feel freed. Of course, we both still just continue to work. I don't know what's wrong with us and whatever, but we're young as well. And I don't think we do a lot of travel now, but I don't think, semi-retirement's not really our immediate goal. We're really enjoying what we're doing. But that moment was definitely great. And it's allowed us to go and acquire other assets and use that income now to put towards those to reduce the debt on those. So, I think that's definitely my favourite moment with our investing.
Zakaria went for a cash flow heavy model to accumulate wealth and properties and pay off debt, rather than just letting capital growth do all the work.
You know, when we started out, we were a bit gung-ho development. And then based on the amount of time that takes and what's involved with negotiating and that sort of thing, after we did the East Brisbane and the Everton Hills developments, we then manoeuvred towards that block of units that I mentioned. And that was much easier because the structure was already there, and we just enhanced it and really enhanced the cash flow. And then we actually rented that out per room from about 2009 to about 2017. And, you know, the cash flow return was about 12%. So we went for a cash flow heavy model to help us get ahead and, you know, really, really make sure that our assets are contributing. So we've never bought an asset where we've got to, you know, subsidize it. It's like a poor cousin and we've got to give it $1,000 a month. We've never done that. So from that moment onwards, because we then had a really good cash flow from that property and, you know, we work closely with a few people in the industry, and Helen will appreciate when I say we, our next asset that we acquired was probably a bit more high risk in the sense that it was a commercial property that was vacant. So we got it extremely under market value, and you know, it's tenanted out now and it's almost doubled, and that's also been our strategy for our next commercial property that we've acquired as well. So we took a different tact after the first two developments because we wanted our assets to be just very cash flow enhanced and not have to contribute towards those, and less time, less money, and more contribution back for us. So that's how our strategy has evolved over time. I wouldn't say, you know, when we were 22, did we sit down and say, you know, we're going to go from developments to building units to, you know, buying vacant commercial properties. It's something that has just naturally evolved, I think, as we've matured and realized where you can get the best bang for buck out of some of these acquisitions. And I wouldn't say that we would rule out developments, but we certainly, you know, our feasibilities are pretty strong on those now because we understand the time that's required to do them. So, you know, that in combination with making some sacrifices, as I said, you know, around like we were renting rooms out, we didn't have our own space as a family really until about 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, it was making sacrifices and being really disciplined with money, you know, making sure that we're setting money aside and that we're paying debts off and accumulating effective assets in the right areas and that we're structuring things properly for tax. That's always been something really important to us, so we're not giving away more than we have to. The combination of that is something that we've always, you know, had from day one. That's been our approach and our strategy, and it's just evolved to include different assets over time.
In regards to tax, Sakara shed some light on whether accountants or financial planners are equipped to give advice in that area.
That's a grey area because some financial advisors don't advise on tax strategies, and some accountants don't advise on broader tax strategies or self-managed super funds. So it's what I would say is it's just doing the research to ask a few questions, whether they're an accountant or an advisor, around, you know, are you able to advise me on the big picture, including myself, my trusts, my companies, my superannuation, my cash flow, you know, my objectives, and then the ultimate outcomes for capital gains tax. That's really what should be asked because, you know, I had a client in even this week who they've got a financial advisor, an accountant who does personal, and an accountant who does self-managed super, and then the loan guy at the bank. And so they're working with four advisors, and I said it's your advice has been very disjointed, like everything is very weighted towards, you know, she owns several properties in her own name and has cash in super and in she's retired. So none of it really made any sense. And I think you want someone who can pull it all together, you know, take the big picture. They know the general strategies across all and can really weigh up the different outcomes for you. It could be an accountant. It could be a financial advisor. But you've just got to ask those questions so that you get the right person, the right fit. You know, because some financial advisors are more product focused and they might only, you know, invest in certain products and not have that broad brush approach. And then some accountants might not even be qualified in superannuation. So that's never going to be part of the equation, for example. So yeah, just asking that question, making sure that they are able to give you that broad advice is important.
Having passive income coming in is very important for Sakara as it gives her the financial independence and freedom she needs, provides a future for her family, and is the reason why she's accumulated her properties.
What we're currently doing with the properties is we've got the so we've got a commercial property that's rented out, and that's got a very good yield based on what we paid for it. And we've got the units that are rented out. So a lot of that now is sort of positive cash flow, passive income. And so we've just gone and acquired another commercial asset that's currently vacant. We did take out debt for that. So we're using now the other passive income. We'll start paying that off. That's a new asset, that other commercial property. We're just about to settle on that. So why we're doing that is because, you know, we want to achieve a passive income of about $350, and but still not having to use our principal place of residence, which is a bulky asset, to generate income, and also not relying on our super, because, you know, we'd like further options earlier in life. So at the moment, most of our calculations and why we're doing that is around trying to get more and more passive income. And the reason that we've got, you know, three assets as opposed to one is because, like, I am a little bit conservative in nature, and I like to have, you know, multiple tenants and multiple income sources, because I feel like for us to rely on like one tenant of a really massive asset, for me, would be a little bit of risk, because, you know, if we're relying on that to provide us our passive income, and then we do shut up shop, you know, when we're 50 or whatever, then, you know, if that vacates, then you're not going to have that consistency. So we're trying to build it whilst having it tax effective, protected, as you said, and consistent in nature, so that we feel comfortable with, you know, where we're sitting when we do ultimately just rely on that revenue to provide us with our living costs. So right now we're reinvesting it all back in, because what's motivating us is that we're continuing to accrue assets, and we're doing that so we can, you know, create a bit of a future for us and the kids, and have that flexibility without ever having to realize our principal place of residence.
It sounds like your principal place of residence is already fully paid off. Two of the properties are also unencumbered, and you wouldn't have any debt on it. And I guess the last property you purchased, which is a commercial, has a loan on it as well. So you're in a really, really nice, comfortable position with these properties, because you own three or four that you've got at this point in time.
The first commercial one, there's a tiny bit of debt left on that. But yeah, we're pretty well, you know, that will be paid off quite soon. But yeah, that's right. So it's just really, we're trying to now, you know, accumulate as rapidly as possible in terms of the assets and passive income that we've got.
Coming up after the break, hear about the daily habits she's developed, which are important to her success.
I have a habit of every morning I wake up, I check and get back to emails, and every night I will not go to bed until my inbox is cleared.
The great advice she received from an accountant at the age of 22.
We went and saw an accountant at the time, and they said, if you structure it like this, you're going to pay about $200,000 in tax.
All that and more coming up after the break. I'm Taran Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Sicaria has been part of education groups with property education cities all over Australia, and has found great value in the information and counselling they have provided.
I have learned so much through those groups. Like, I learn from everyone on a daily basis, you know. It's amazing how much knowledge just passes through those groups, and what you've got access to, and the variation in speakers that they get, and it's a constant evolution as well. So I think my main training ground, and even now, just keeping up with everything that changes as we go, being part of those networks has given me a lot of education, and I think access to the right professionals too, because I'm, you know, always put my hand up. Even if I think I know the answer, I double check, you know, and I think that there's so much value in that advice that we get. You know, I still go and talk to my accountant, and I bounce everything off him, you know, and I think that network has really been a key. is really been a big key for us in terms of being educated about things, everything from tax right through to feasibility or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you really need a team around you to be able to get that expert advice. Otherwise, you can't do everything yourself. It sounds like the resources and mentors have been your group and your team and your education pieces that you've been part of, which is absolutely phenomenal.
And I think you know some of them, and you know what they're like, aren't they? Just very expert in their fields and the amount of knowledge. And because everyone is so niche, they just stay up with it, so relevant for their individual field. So I think, anyone that tries to go it alone, I would really question that, because even as professionals who are in it all the time, we're still learning and we're still bouncing off each other to get the best outcome.
She then shares with us about a book that she has written on self-managed superannuation, which she gives to her clients to increase their knowledge base.
Just, the ins and outs, how it's structured, what the possibilities are with superannuation. A lot of people talk about the barefoot investor, which, there are some good aspects to reading books like that because you're getting education. But if you want to act off that advice without getting it personalized to yourself, then you're going to have problems. So I think that mine branches off just into the superannuation space and just sort of goes through all the nitty-gritty detail around, how is superannuation structured and what are the tax rates and how can we invest in there and just all the tips and traps, I guess.
What's the name of the book?
Just Self-Managed Superannuation by Jolene Sakari, and it's branded with our company. So it's, it's just a bit more of an ebook, and we just give it to all of our clients for an education process.
Sakari tells us about a moment when she received great advice, which held her in good stead on her property journey.
I think the best advice that had the most impact for me was actually back with that first investment that we did. As I said, I was 22 and we went and saw an accountant at the time, and they said, if you structure it like this, you're going to pay about $200,000 in tax. If you structure it like this, we'll pay about 15 grand. And, when you're 22 and you're doing your first development and you're really trying to set a financial foundation, that had a huge impact on the outcome of that for us. So, I once again, that's another moment that I'm grateful for. And I'm grateful that I got correct advice as well, and that it had such a positive impact on us starting out, as a family, as an investors. I think that was a moment where I've definitely received some great advice.
She then cites staying on top of things as one of the key factors that has contributed to her success.
I think that, we get compliments often around our efficiency and timeliness. And I think I have a habit of every morning I wake up, I check and get back to emails, and every night I will not go to bed until my inbox is cleared, I've got back to everyone. Even phone calls I've received that day, if I get the message late, I'll shoot a text. I just leave nothing unturned until I go to bed. And I think doing that every single day just means that things don't accumulate. People's expectations are met, and that you stay on top of things as well. So even for our own stress management, not going to bed with things hanging over your head. And I believe that, that contributes to us being efficient, like in life as well as business.
If Sakari could give herself some advice 10 years ago, this is what she would have said.
I do sort of function all the time. Like unless I physically leave, and that's why we take chunky holidays and we go overseas, because unless I physically leave, I don't give myself any downtime. So I think I would just say to myself, you've got the foundation, your process is automated, you're saving, just relax. Because I think we can sometimes all get a bit wound up with it. Like, what if I don't achieve, and what if I don't? And I think that, if you set the process in motion, if you've planned it out and you've got a process that's set in motion, just allow yourself to live as well and have some balance and don't panic about it, because, everything works in cycles, and opportunities come up on a daily basis. And I think when you're young, you feel like, well, that opportunity is the only one I'm ever going to get. You know, I've got to buy that property and you pay too much or whatever. I just, you know, everyone sort of tends to feel like that when they're young. But as you get older, you just, you feel like, you know what, this is like five opportunities a day. Be selective, take your time and don't panic. That's what I would say.
When asked what she would look forward to most in her property journey, Sakaya replies she would definitely enjoy reaping the rewards of all her hard work and effort.
I think it's just finally seeing the accumulation that's not from me, you know, having to put money into it. It's just finally just seeing something working for you and helping you get ahead. You know, it's almost like having a third person in the marriage. Don't tell Matt I said that when you talk to him, but it's like, oh, we've got another person that's earning an income. You know, and I think that's an exciting phase to be in now, because where we direct that and just watching that accumulate, it's effortless, and I just really enjoy seeing it. So, yeah, that is exciting me that, you know, we finally will get some benefit from that after all the hard work and sacrifice.
When it comes to whether how much of her success she thinks is due to skill, intelligence and work, and how much of it is because of luck, Sakaya shares the following.
I think that there are things that, you know, you need to be grateful for that could have gone either way. And definitely that has happened for me, you know, like with my first job, and those sort of things, with the council saying yes instead of no. I mean, they're all things that I consider good fortune. I also think that building on good fortune, you need to have planning and you need to have hard work and you need to have sacrifice to have, you know, the result that you get.
For those who would like to find out more about Jolene Sakaya, what she does and how to reach out to her, this is how you can contact her.
I'm contactable on 0416 473 446, and my email is Jolene, Jolene, at myfinancialgroup.com.au. We are a firm of sort of a holistic financial services, so we have tax accountants, self-managed super fund accountants and specialists, we've got wealth advisors, we've got loan brokers, and we've also got insurance brokers. So most of our clients are busy people and they like to be able to just do everything in one convenient location. So, we do work with other professionals as well. So we're not just isolated to people who need us for everything. But feel free to reach out. We, really important to me. And as I mentioned, my passion at the start, like I had somebody say to me yesterday, you know, why don't you charge for your first consultation and doing those cash flows? You know, you could. So one of my clients offering me advice on that I could offer under the bonnet checks for $500 or charge a fee and donate it to charity. And I think something that really drives me is education. And in this country, I feel like, you know, we're not financially stable enough when we retire. We don't have enough to be comfortable. And the more people that we can get out and touch early in the piece and educate around that and good habits and how to improve on that, that's really what drives me every day. And that's why we do those first two meetings at no cost. We sit down, we analyze your situation, we have a look at where you're heading for retirement. We go through all of that. And that's because we do want that information to get out there, regardless of whether or not you become a client of ours. That drives us. You know, we do lecturing down at the universities at Griffith, and we volunteer our time for those sort of things. We do pro bono aged care work for people going into aged care facilities, because that's a very stressful and it's a minefield of information, very stressful time. So, you know, the main thing that drives us is education. So don't be afraid to reach out and ask questions, because that's what we love and that's why we're still working.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Jolene Sakaya for joining us on this episode of Property Invest Story. If you'd like to find out more about her journey, head over to propertyinveststory.com.au.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.